Good. What's going to follow now are some suggestions on how to prepare and then lead some good studies. Can I say, I think this is probably where it becomes the most personal, and as in down to personality and what you're like and how you will lead best. And so this is probably where most into the territory of you may want to just ignore or adapt what I'm saying. I'll try and show you principles and then how I do it. I think I tend to lead studies like a kind of smiling dictator, basically. So I will tend to... Okay, well, there you go. So it's related to personality. That I will tend to sort of batter a feeling of group out of people. And other people will do that in different ways. We're aiming for leaving people with the passage, not with me, with the main point, not confusion, knowing what to do about it, having discussed it together as a group. So some suggestions. Before the study, pray for the group members, know them. We talked about that yesterday. And then choose good questions. Write down questions and try and think about what makes a good question and a bad question. So bad questions are things like questions with a one-word answer. So in Mark 7, which group is it that Jesus is having an argument with? It's a good question, it's an easy question, but there's only one possible answer. You're only ever going to get Pharisees. And that doesn't sound much like there's no discussion going on there. You want several with more than one right answer. Let's say if you're in Mark 1:1-15, you might say, lots of people tell us about Jesus in these verses. Let's get a list of them on the table. Let's go. Come on, let's have several. Then lots of people feel they can say something, it will be right. Chances are we're not going to have a fight. Say a really easy one or a more surprising one. We're all in there. Are they too hard or too easy for the group? There's two reasons why you get silence in a bad group. Either because you ask a question that's too easy or because you answer a question that's too hard. So if we say Romans 1, verses 1 to 17, what's the main point of this passage? You'll get silence, I think. And that will be because you ask a question that is too difficult, too hard to work out. Whereas also if you say to someone, in Mark, are the Pharisees good or bad? You'll also get silence, just because everyone is too embarrassed to answer the question. And if you then try and fill the silence by asking an easier question, how are the Pharisees described in this passage? And do you think it's positive or negative? The people just really, because nobody wants to give the obvious answer, it's too easy. And that's just about knowing your group and having a nice, friendly co-leader. So a nice, friendly co-leader who'll say, and after the Romans one, he'll say, I don't know. And that's kind of just helpful to your leader, person leading, maybe that's too hard. Or who will just be prepared to say the answer, or pick on someone in the group. Dav, go on, why don't you tell us? That's clueing up the leader, your question was too easy. Are the questions going to the text or away from it? And are you ready to provide more questions afterwards? In general, the flow of your study, this isn't on the sheet, might be worth writing down, wants to go from observation questions through to interpretation questions through to application questions. So observation questions, what's here? Mark 1:1-15, what do all these people say about Jesus? Through to interpretation questions, what seems to be the biggest of those issues? What does that mean? How would you explain to a seven-year-old what that means about Jesus? So we've gone from what's here to what does it mean, then application questions after that. And the danger, if you do that in a different order, you're going to either apply what people haven't understood, or you're going to encourage the closed Bible thing while we talk about a big issue, who do you think Jesus is? If you do that before the observation, there's going to be nothing in your there's no ammo in your passage gun to have that conversation with. Include a load of fun questions. It's actually quite important, particularly in Mark, but actually all the way through, is to have questions which are just a bit surprising, a bit fun. So let's just 30 seconds and each group think of one fun question in your passage. Go. Okay, let's see where we got to. That's very unfair little exercise, isn't it? They're quite hard. Let's start with Mark. Do we have a fun question? Do we have a fun question over here? That's good. Isn't that good? Okay, so that's... Do you hear, so which... And Friends slightly... Does anyone still watch Friends? You know, but that's good, isn't it? Which Friends character do the Pharisees most closely resemble? Again, you see, you've made it obvious there's no one right answer in your head at that point, that, you know, you're a heretic if you get it wrong. There's nothing in the church councils about not knowing which Friends character Mark 7 relates to. Okay, you're allowed to just say what you think. You're saying, I want you to speak... or let's get under the skin. Good, I like that very much. Good, over here. Yeah. So what's the shock headline from this? Yeah, so there's some fun sort of exercises type things, questions you can ask every week. You can rotate them. There's the kind of, if you were filming this, if you were doing the tabloid headline... Maybe bring in, to make it really fly, maybe bring in some favourite headlines from The Sun during that week, and some of the good sort of ones with alliteration or rhymes and stuff in, and then try and get them in the style doing it. That's good. I like that.
Have you ever had a French shower?
And how, just help us how that relates to the passage.
Because a French shower is when you just get the deodorant on, so you have the appearance of clean, but you're actually filthy.
That's nice, that's good. It's a yes no only question, isn't
yeah,
it?
Then people ask me, what is a gypsy shower? Someone in the group, I'll have checked beforehand. No, but I read someone beforehand to look at Wikipedia what a
fake
shower is.
Or you could even take level 4, you could say, is anyone prepared to have a shower right now in the study? And then think of deodorant. Yeah, that's right, that's good. No, I like it. Nice, good. That's good. Other ideas for Mark 7. You could have a range of religious leaders, pictures cut out the newspaper, who's the most holy or something like that. You could, Claire one time when we had it, asked people what kitchen implement they were most like, or saucepan or whatever, they had to all name. And then she'd brought a Le Creuset pan full of used nappies, which was good for the end of the passage. So we had the Le Creuset pan there on the table until we got later on in the passion. We opened it and the wafting stench came out and that sort of thing. Good, that's nice. Any fun questions from Romans?
You can have an intro question about a spiritual calculator, so you have to add up how much of your week you spend in
Excellent. You could do a whole diary. You could do it. You could get for other people. Do it to each other. You know, good. Like it. Thank you. Over you. Yeah, and get everyone to tell a story about that. Again, it's just. I mean, yeah. So a bit wacky, a bit different, is actually really good. People want to keep coming back. People, I think maybe particularly in Mark is this problem. People think they know what Mark's all about. I'll very often try and stop by getting someone to say the wrong answer as well. So it's a kind of trap question, a trick question. How much do you think it mattered? If you saw someone in your halls who was living inappropriately, how much does that matter? So get a kind of outward religion really matters kind of answer on the table so that then we can smash it or something like that. I haven't thought very carefully about that. But, you know, to try and get... If the group is fun and exciting and kind of we're not never quite sure if we're getting the right answer or not. After a year, normally a group can tell when I'm giving selling them the dummy, and that's the time to choose a new group and move on. That sort of thing. And in terms of, and so this is all before the study. So that's writing the study. During the study, there's a load of suggestions on there. Some of which are very important. Let me just highlight, don't cap answers, we said already. So this is the way to stop groups from speaking. So you say, what does the cross do for us? And someone says, I just find it stops me feeling guilty. And you say, that's right, it removes our sin from us, so it's no longer appropriate for us to feel guilty. And what you've actually done is communicate, you're too stupid to speak in my group, basically, haven't you? So you've said, their answer is not substantially different from yours. There's a little bit more content in it, a little bit more reason. But by answering like that, you've just said, actually, it would have been better if you hadn't spoken. Thank you very much. Which is the opposite of what you want to say. And there's really no need for you to do that. So they say, stops me feeling guilty. You do actually want to get a bit more from that, don't you? It might just be a kind of a license thing. It might be a sin, doesn't matter. They might not have understood how. But why should you be the person to explain that? So nearly always, I will come straight back to the first person who speaks. So they say, stops me feeling guilty. Brilliant. Just say why. Thank you. Or thank you, just a bit more. And this is Michael. Can you do the noise you do? Michael is excellent at this. When someone gives an answer and you want more from them, what do you do?
Go on.
Yes, is that? I think someone has some noises as well. There's a sort of, there's a noise like that. Do you still do that? Sonia Cornhill, Michael used to do those noises. It's just a way, or a nod will do it. This, and you're just saying, I'd love some more on that. Because chances are they know exactly why they've said it. Feeling guilty because Jesus, I don't need to feel guilty to Jesus. And they'll say it in their way rather than you saying it. You've lost time on here, which is good. And you've encouraged them, actually, you have the right answer and I want to hear what you're saying. And even if they get the wrong answer, there's only about three really classic RML questions. They say, stops me feeling guilty because I just know God gooeyly loves me. What's the RML question after that? Yeah, lovely. What does anyone else think? Which is code for wrong, isn't it? I sometimes use it when they've got it right, just to keep people guessing. But you don't need to correct them because someone else in your group will be able to. So thank you so much. And always I'm trying to reward people from speaking. They'll be quite scared of speaking. Always, always when someone speaks, I want to reward them for speaking. So thank you so much. Isn't that really helpful? So it doesn't feel guilty because the warm, gooey feeling of God loves them. Now, anyone want to add to that? What do people think of that? And that's really helpfully got us started in the discussion. They're wrong, but they feel good about speaking. I don't want them to necessarily feel good about being wrong, but feel good about speaking so that they'll speak again and other people will be happy to speak while I'm leading and don't think they're going to get slapped down. And what does everyone else think? And someone else will come in something different. And actually, what I really want is a fight. If I cap the answers all the time, I'm never going to get a fight. Whereas what I really want is a discussion, two different points of view. Someone says, no, it's not the gooey feeling. It's actually a really rational, Jesus died, it's been taken away. Ah, brilliant. Now we've got two different. Does everyone understand what we're saying? Just say again what you said. First person says again. Everyone understood that? You don't look like you understand. Just tell me what you think they said. And I've actually got five or six people speaking then, and we've set up a fight between these two sides of the group. A nice fight. And then we're going to go to the passage. Let's just see. You say why you think that's what the passage is saying. You say why you think what the passage is saying. Okay, we'll get Demelza will kind of adjudicate. Which one do you think? And we've had a five-way discussion in the passage about this issue. At no point have I capped an answer or had to. You see what capping the answer does? Just kills all of that. Good. Insist on the text. That's another one of the RML questions, isn't it? Which verse was that from? Really, really good question. Don't be ashamed of using that regularly in the passage. And again, not as a telling off. Say, brilliant! Just show us which verse that was from. Thank you. Just help us. Where do you get that from? Where is that? Just help us. What's the language in the passage for that? Does that come in the beginning or the end of the passage? Or someone else. Show us where that is in the passage. And just because we're keeping our noses in the passage. Beware red herrings, admit you don't know, 4,000 times for having a cross-reference. That's again, cross-references basically just tell people you cannot understand the Bible unless you're clever like me. Whereas all it really is you looked it up earlier. So you're even lying. And actually keep people in the passage. They can understand it from what they got there. Welcome silences. This is really, really important. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. and we're all not going to answer it. Okay, and we're just going to see when it gets uncomfortable. I don't know if this will work or not. But this is a genuine question we're going to want to know the answer to in a second. But who'd like a taxi after lunch? Now, see, that feels quite uncomfortable to me. Anyone else feeling uncomfortable? A little bit. Things feel uncomfortable. I don't know if that works or not as a demonstration, but in a Bible study, you ask a question, and within about 3 seconds, you feel dreadful if no one's speaking. Let's a verse that everyone knows well. What is the main point of John 3:16? Speak as soon as you know. What's the main point of John 3:16? God loves the world. Anyone else want to speak? What's the main point?
Life through Jesus.
Anyone else want to play?
You won't perish.
You won't perish. Lovely. And the pause at the beginning. And those were 3 senior slob leaders spoke then. How long did it take them?
2.5 seconds. You see,
and now Gwilym, how long does it normally take Gwilym to speak and say anything? The pauses are good. Love the pauses. Love the silences. Sometimes they mean your question was wrong, but normally it means that your question has required people to think, which is actually the aim, isn't it? Thinking and then speaking. And you will feel dreadful about a silence long, long before the group does. And your immediate response then, what's the main point of John 3:16? And you're speaking immediately with something you haven't prepared to say that you haven't thought about, because you haven't left them long enough to think about what they're saying, so you certainly haven't had long enough to think about what you're going to say next. And love the silences. Don't fill them. Let them sit. You'll be able to work out after you've been in for a bit when a silence has gone too far. That's when your co-leader will help you. But in general, love the silences. Is that a question?
I was told normally it takes the average person 13 seconds.
There you go.
Really think about a question.
13 seconds.
That seems like a very long time.
It's quite a precise answer, doesn't it? But yeah, so yeah. So yeah, that sounds about right. Longer if you've asked a really good question. The better the question, the longer it might take. Gordon, want to say something?
Yeah, it's just not on your hand, but you might be about to say it, but generally speaking on that, it's best for you to stick with your questions as well. At least your questions.
Yeah.
And so the questions you think of or repeat will be bad.
Will tend to be. Yeah, good. Thank you. Good. Can I give you another circle on during the study? This is a bit what Reese did yesterday, but here are the people in your group, and here's you, you're the leader. Most studies look like you ask a question, someone picks it up, throws it back to you. You ask a question, someone picks it up, throws it back to you. You ask a question, someone picks it up, throws it back to you. That's what most studies look like. Whereas what we want, what we're aiming for is much more like that. Does that make sense? And the 2 sort of images I've thought up for it, which you'll have heard me say before, is either spinning the plate. So when you want a plate spinning on a pole, you don't just get it spinning and then leave it there. You're kind of just keeping it going with a light touch. So you let the question out there. And then you don't really want to let it just kind of roll around down here without any input from you or wherever it might go, or it'll get stuck. But you're just slightly spinning it. And one of the things I learned from Christianity Explored is how much, even the group of non-Christians who know nothing about the gospel, how much you can direct the discussion with just a little bit of a spin. So in Mark 8, who do people say that I am? You say, who do people today say Jesus is? You go around the room, you get lots of different answers. And I can, if I let 5 people speak, I can then choose which of those answers we go to. So someone says a Martian, someone says doesn't even exist, someone says, well, you know, a nice religious leader. I think the most useful discussion will be over there. I don't have to, you know, ask a new question about nice religious leaders. I'd say, well, where should we start? Let's start with what Bob said. Bob, just say again what you said. Now, what do people think of that? And I've not taken over the discussion. It's not gone. It's Bob talking to the group, but I've just spun the plate in that direction. I can keep. So if you've got to put the red herring bloke who always speaks, you don't actually have to squash him. You just have to let someone else speak and then reinforce the other person. So, you know, what do we think this passage is about? Smoking is wrong. Thank you, Bob. That's brilliant. Anyone else? And then we go to four or five other people, and I choose the third one, and we go with what they said. And Bob doesn't learn not to speak, but we keep the discussion where we want it to be. And we go round a bit maybe until someone says the thing about grace that we want to get out. So, oh, brilliant, that's really exciting. That's fantastic. Say some more on that. And then once that person said two or three things on it, we're now off down in that direction. Does that make sense? Just a light touch spin each time. The other way, it's sort of a bit like surfing as well, I think. So you want to get the momentum from the group, from the wave, and you just want to kind of ride it round the group like this. So you're not kind of trying to, you know, take over the group, but you just kind of get the thing behind you and go with the direction where the group's going, but just little steering leans and turns as you go around. Does that make sense? Maybe it works more with kayak surfing. You can actually put your paddle in the back. Does that make sense? Does any of that make sense? Lovely. Good. Just turn the page and let's finish off. Oh, no, let's not. So the stuff on how to be a good group member is just slightly a plea for you in slob groups, but also in terms of what you're trying to train your group members to do. We're going to finish with an exam. I'm going to finish with an exam because I, very excitingly, recently found the really smudgily photocopied Richard Cokin notes on how to lead a Bible study that he never did at Word Alive when I first went in 1990, a long time ago. I actually don't know what this is like archaeology we're about to do. And so some of these are on my handout. Some of these I know what they mean. Some of them I don't know what they mean. So it's an exam. He has 24 Bible study proverbs that I'm going to read out. You're going to tell me what they mean. Okay, is that right? Is that going to work as an exam? So here we go. So sit to be seen. What does that mean? Brilliant. If you can't be seen, it's very hard to lead the group. Any more about where you'd sit? Don't sit next to your co-leader. Brilliant. So you can cover both the areas.
Sit where you can see a clock.
Sit where you can see a clock. Yeah, brilliant. I'm a quiet group member. So basically, if you have someone who speaks all the time, most normal human beings won't speak unless you look at them. So most normal human beings, there are some exceptions, if they're sat opposite you, you'll be looking at them all the time, so they'll be speaking all the time. Whereas if you sit them there, they have to actually go like that. And you can see them doing that, and you can just look elsewhere. And if you sit with the quiet person opposite you, and then you just, you know, the moment they flinch or anything, you can go, go on, please, why not speak? And it's much easier if you sit. And the reason is never get your pudding. Why would you ever get your pudding at the same time as your main course at RML? Because basically you get your main course, you go and sit down, eat your main course, you know, wherever people turn up, they come and sit down. Then you go and get your pudding and you move seats to where you actually want to sit. And so there's no reason not to be in control of where you sit. Good. Number two is an aversion to versions. And aversion to versions. Yeah, everyone got the same version. I guess that won't be a problem because we provide Bibles. But some people might bring their own. You might want to print out a passage or something to help that. Beware of prayer pressure.
Ask people before everyone sat down if they want to pray rather than saying, tell me what you pray. And then they're like,
interesting.
Before you sit down.
It could well be that. Could well be that. Don't interrupt the praying. It is. Really? Okay, interesting. In which case, I have something else I want to make it mean. It's not the Bible. Second?
Time-wise
pressure. Time to pray. So that's right. That's the right answer. That's lovely. Also think, with some groups, you'll set them to pray afterwards, and immediately the praying will be about someone's cat and someone's mum who's dying and someone's, you know, all this sort of stuff that isn't in the passage, but you really want to pray for. Sometimes a good thing to do is to pray for those things first. Let's spend the first 5 minutes asking each other what's going on in our lives at the moment, what we can pray for. And then at the end of the study, let's pray in the passage because you've already done those things. But obviously, Dav is right. So you know the answer to all these. It's like having someone from ancient Egypt here as we do the archaeological study. Number four is we like to be led. That's too easy, isn't it? That's why we're science. You may be much more scared of setting a tone than other people are. I think one of the excellent things I remember from Michael teaching on Cornhill was he was the only one prepared to say, that's wrong. Actually, people don't mind that. You need to pick your person. But Michael would regularly, sadly, from the front say, can anyone else tell me why Charlie is completely wrong? And actually, that's...
You did.
I have my notes. I used to write down in the margin. That was... You got points if Michael said that. But actually, people don't mind being... If you say, no, that's not right, people don't mind. You're saying, thank you for speaking, I love you speaking, but actually, that's the wrong answer. That's quite fun. Don't score the goals. Yeah, don't go... And yeah, don't... So if it's been quite painful getting the answer out, resist the temptation to go, oh, it's Israel, isn't it? That's who the vineyard is, it's Israel. Just keep asking more questions. Don't cap answers, we've said. Walk straight through. Yeah, probably. Might be saying generally trust the author. If the author's put it in a certain order, generally do that. Supplementaries need simplification. I think that's saying your hard question then needs to get progressively easier. So if you say, ask a really interesting question, how do you honour God? What does that mean? It's no good if your next question is, what does it mean to fear God? And your question after that is, what is the service that God requires? You want to gradually get easier and easier as you're homing in. This one, I have no idea. It's DIY background. Yeah, I think probably. Sometimes what I'll do is set up that. So when we get to Mark 11, I know I'll want something on the temple. So the week before, I'll ask someone to go and come back as the geek. Can you go and come back as a temple geek? And then they can speak, not me, and that's fun. We'll cross with cross references, we've said. Entice the mice and bully the bulls.
Make people speak, or help people speak, and
Make
people speak, and
quiet in the reading. Yeah, yeah. No truck with trivia. It's fairly obvious, isn't it? Keep the pace up. I think this is quite often, again, partly because we get you to work so hard, partly because we get you to write it all down on a piece of paper, and partly because we're good at keeping to time, that sort of thing. We kind of lead studies with no energy in them. So if you were sat in a sermon in which the entire time we spoke like this, and my point one is this, and now we're going here, and then my point two is this, and my point three is this, I'm very, very dull. But actually, Bible studies, sometimes we lead like that. Question one, thank you very much. Next question, that's great. Someone read us verse three, thank you very much. I think don't be afraid of some kind of slightly pacey things in the study. That's great, next, but what do we think? Brilliant! Now let's just stop, and why don't we in pairs think about what that means. Actually, a variety of pitch and pace and speed in the study. It is actually part of your job to make the study interesting, not just to make it right, which will be to do with as well the kind of pace at which. So there's sometimes you go, yes, thank you. Anyone else? Brilliant, good. And you would come back to you again. What did you mean by that? Do you know what I mean? Good. Let's just take 5 seconds. Can we summarise what we've just said? Excellent. Yeah, that actually, that's part of keeping it interesting. I can't be bothered to do all the rest of these. Help them get real. Yeah, what's the difference between help them get real and application? Yeah, there is that. Yeah. So it's the honesty. So you can have a kind of conspiracy of dishonesty, I think, in a Bible study group really easily. And all you have to do is put one person without kind of normal social filters in the group, and you'll see the difference. So a load of normally kind of repressed people will say, yes, that list in Mark 7 of sins makes me feel bad because I am sometimes a bit dishonest. You say, yes, you're being dishonest now! we've just said your heart is full of poo, and I'm absolutely sure your dishonesty is not the one you're mainly thinking of now. And to have someone in the group who will be honest or will, half the group says, yes, sometimes I struggle to have a quiet time. And one person says, I haven't had one since I arrived in London 3 months ago. Suddenly changes the temperature of the group. Suddenly we're actually applying rather than pretending. And to help that is good. That's enough. Enough of those. Let's take a 5-minute pause. Then we're going to do something for 10 minutes. say, no, 3 minute pause. 3 minute pause. Stand up, breathe, go to the loo if you need to. Everyone has to stand up. No one's allowed to stay sitting down. Okay, and can we sit down again? Can we sit down again? I'll hand around a few of those if people don't have them. Hand around a few of those to people who don't have them. Hand around a few of those if anyone doesn't have one. Does everyone have one of these? Everyone have one of these? Everyone have one of these? Everyone have one of these?
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. And just look around this way. Well done. That's been a lot of stuff this morning. Basically, all we've said is, in your preparation, read it like a book. In your application, treat them like different individuals. And in your Bible studies, work with what's good about Bible study. That's all we've said. Again, our targets are low. It takes a while to learn this. Lots of stuff in there was for people who've done it before to think, oh, this year I'm going to really work on X. Good. I have a few. Oh, any questions on anything we've said all morning? Any questions? Lovely. Gwilym has. And Stuart has. We'll go Stuart first. So bullying the bulls is the person who repeatedly speaks and is always leaping in there. I think I would... So one thing is I'd sit them next to me. The other thing is I would give them less, thank you very much. So I might do things like halfway through their sentence, thank you, and anyone else? Great, and we've heard quite a lot from Stuart, so now it'd be, thank you so much. It'd be great to hear from some other people as well. And the sensitive bull will hear that. I might just give them a gentle word, say, it's fantastic, you're so into speech, it's really, really helpful. But I think there might be just a few people who aren't speaking because you're speaking quite a bit. Would you mind just helping us hold back a bit? My sister-in-law once, someone turned to, Ecclesiastes 3, and underlined the a time to speak, a time to keep silent, just handed the Bible to her during the study. As a way of, feel free to use as you want. And I think it is your job to help the group go well. Yes, that's right. Yeah, there'll be other verses you could use as well. But taking a group member aside and having a chat with them in between the studies about how to be more helpful in the study that's part of your job, and is a good thing. And if you do it nicely, people don't mind. It was question or on that, Michael?
Separate question.
Let's go Gwilym first then. So you can do things where they have to talk to each other, so little group exercises. Think carefully. So the group exercise is not a magic bullet. Think carefully about what will work well in a group and what won't. I would do group exercises where one of them must feedback, and I'd tell them they have to appoint someone to feedback, so different people get used to speaking, so I get the chance to say, brilliant, thank you so much, to several different people. I would set up... speaking exercises. This can backfire. So Greg and Adele set up a great one with pretend to be a barrister in court, except one quite confident member of their group, his dad's a barrister, and he got really into it. That slightly backfired. But that sort of thing where they've got to... sort of acting out type things where I make it clear I know it's ridiculous and embarrassing, but we're going to do it anyway. That sort of thing. People
have...
Say again? Yeah, so one, a real problem... So the study book is brilliant for beforehand. Get your study book out so as to read from it. It's actually quite destructive during the study. So one of the reasons why slob studies are boring is because all of you write things down all the time. And actually that it's impossible to engage what someone's just said if you're actually writing it down at the time. Yeah, so ban people to speak. Do visual things, active things. Yeah, did I say speak? Yeah, there you go. It's been a long weekend. Visual things, so we're going to draw the experience of the people of Israel. We're going to draw the behaviour of the disciples. Here's a pen. You don't have to actually say anything, but you do have to do something. We're going to move the donuts around until they represent whatever it is. You've got people involved and doing things. Although, what would you do?
That sounds great. People do other visual things as well, so you can play around with jelly babies and things like that.
Yeah.
If you want to. I think it's worth saying that you don't want to violate your group, so you don't want to kind of make them feel every week like they're being forced to be zany and fun, when actually they hate it. That's not the aim of the Bible study. The aim is for them to have a good time.
You might want to tackle it sort of head on and speak to them as a group about why you want them to talk and
that's really good. So telling a group how they can be a good group to each other, because they don't know that, they've never been told that before, they've just turned up and they're having a Bible study.
Photocopy the bottom of that. The last thing on that sheet I just gave you, could give that out to your group members. So this is what we're trying to do, this is what we'd love you to do. Get one of your group, if you've got a fourth year ringer in your group, say, next week, Mike Burns is just going to tell us what he tries to do before the group, or how he tries to be a good group member. So it's them doing it, things like that. But yeah, I'd be wanting to entice and coax rather than, so constant reinforcement, brilliant, thank you for speaking, that's so good. Do you remember what? And you could do that over weeks. So do you remember what they said last week? Just say it again. It was so good. Thank you. Just building that up.
Ask a slob leader as well. That's part of their job.
So the slob leader would have met your group, may have ideas. Is there an idea on that?
Yeah. Is it helpful, though, to remember we're aiming to use the strengths of Bible study rather than have zany fun? Often zany fun helps the strengths of Bible study, but there are some people for whom it wouldn't help.
Yeah.
So it's not force a particular style of study that's worked in some groups at some of the time in RML, a group went, why not?
They made me wear a colander on my head, so I'm never coming back. Yeah. It's a bad outcome. Good. Michael's question.
Sort of building on that, because different people have different ideas of fun, and what one person finds fun, another person finds completely cringeworthy, and it's actually counterproductive. Also, a comment somebody made to me a while ago, which is that groups need to be really fun, but we also want to make sure that studying the Bible, we're realizing we're engaging with hearing God, and that's intensely serious and incredibly important. And fun mustn't trivialize hearing God speak.
Yeah, absolutely. I think often it's the... Yeah, fun can actually really drive home the seriousness of something. So classically in Mark, where you get the Pharisees on the table and you laugh at them, you act out what's so silly about them and how stupid they're being, and then you just flick it and say, look, that's us. And you realise you've just been laughing at yourself. And you go instantly from ha, 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 oh. And that's the sort of way, I think Mark does that, that's a deliberate, sort of the deliberate shift like that. That's the sort of way that fun can really serve. No, good. Thank you. Any last questions on any of this? Cool. I have then a few more things to say about student RML in no particular order. This is the student year, and this is what happens in the year, so you've got all the dates. Please put these in your diaries. In particular, the crucial ones are the essential mix, the 6th and the 7th, and 6th and 7th of November, and task the 7th to the 10th of January. And leaders, please, all of you, we're in the same way that RML groups will have their three weekends during the year in workers, and it's part of the deal. You're expected to be on all those. The exception is task, which includes a Thursday night and all day on a Friday. We'd love it if you wanted today to take a day off work to come. It says to be there on Friday. In the past, leaders have done that, but we're obviously not going to insist on that. But to arrive on the Friday evening, ready to spend good time with your group, Friday evening, Saturday, and Sunday morning, is kind of part of the deal. Those are the two big things. And to be basically all year until the Essential Mix, basically trying to encourage students to go on that, on the Essential Mix, all year from the Essential Mix to Task, basically trying to encourage students to go on Task, which is much, much easier if you know now you're going. And you say, but we're all going to go. It's great to come. Really glad you're going to be there. Let's go. Let's travel up together. If you started saving the money so you can afford to go, brilliant. So is that okay? That's the student year. As well. So you can get them, ring them, get them knowing when they are. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so the Essential Mix is not away. So that's a Friday night and a Saturday all day at St Andrews. And Task is away in salubrious accommodation in Northamptonshire. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. That's the student year. Something I said on Tuesday night, and I said I'd say again to us here, is the sort of who the team is that works with students. I said this a couple of years now, that my real fear is that as we get the staff team to be bigger, which I think is great, I'm particularly pleased this year we've kind of got it much easier for London students to come straight into the team as associates. I think that's fantastic, and that'll be a real strength to our work this year. My worry is as the team gets bigger, that we communicate to students and to this group here that the people who do student work are the people that St Helens employs. So you think in a normal church would employ me to do student work, and that would be it. And there'd be this number of people maybe who would all be volunteers with normal jobs, and it would be crystal clear that I am not the person who does the student work of the church, because I would die. But the danger is here that because there are quite a lot of people employed by the church, that it would be easy to communicate, those are the people who really do the student work, and there are some other people who lead Bible studies. But that is absolutely not the case in my head, absolutely not what I want the case to be. And we said on Tuesday night that, for instance, at a church that's quite close to St Helens, kind of in links and relationships, called St Andrew the Great, every person here would wear a badge every week on Sunday saying student team. So that students would know you're the person to speak to. And that would include everyone in all their normal jobs as well as anyone employed by the church. So what I'd like you all please to do right now, just reach into your pockets, if you would, reach into your pockets and pull out your blue badge. This is to do with the kind of not everyone likes to find something fun. Pull out your blue badge. It's a kind of plastic, cheap budget badge, isn't it? It's this right stag with a kind of blue thing inserted. Yeah, so it's got a little crocodile clip on the badge. Please, and I'll ping your crocodile clip and attach it to your top there. It's a Sunday, isn't it? So your student team today. We call you team student at St Helens. Second, what's that? Could you do that, please? Could you do that now? So disobedient. And if you could sort of, as you walk through the tombs to get to St Helens on a Sunday, Sonny, if you could just kind of reach in your pocket and pull out your badge and stick it on each time. Your team student, this is the group who works with students. This is the group who I want to have good ideas, what should we do with students? Group who's looking out for people, thinking how can we really help these students? How can we make student workers and hands better? It's this group, not the staff team. Does that make sense? Anyone ask a question about that? That's really important. Who's that? Demelza wants to ask a question. Yeah, thank you. So things like student suppers, students are quite late on a Sunday. Some people have to be up at 6 a.m. for their group. What I hope is, because we are all team students, everybody in this room wants to spend as much time as they can with the students in their group, spending relation time with students, getting opportunities with them. So what I hope is everybody here is thinking, how can I make the most of the opportunities? So student supper, I hope for everyone is, I'd really love to be there. And then there'll be some people who'll think, because my work starts so early on Monday, I can't be there every week. But I'd love it to be that way around, rather than people thinking, I'm an RML Bible study leader, so I only have to be there on Wednesday. That way around. So people who work at St Helens, we can do things like get some sleep another time, that sort of thing, so that you're able to be there. But we all want to be there. And feel free to discuss with your SLOB leader if you're worried in either direction on that, too much or too little. Cool, thank you. One of the things that means is praying. And I'd love to be praying through your group. That's a massively important part of being a group leader. But also, please pray for the student work in general, which means at the moment, the main thing I think we should be praying for is for some students. And I'd love everyone in this room to be praying every morning for the Lord to bring students. And we're losing a big third year. Lots of students have left. We could easily be about half the size we were come September, just with a number who've left, and always a few might leave, not come back after the summer. What we'd love to be is really big first year again. We're about due for a really big first year, and this is the way things fluctuate like that in student things. So please be praying every day for the right students to come. Particularly for Mark, pray for people to be in your group. And final thing to say is in terms of a new thing we're doing this year, is a work with international students. So there are some people not here who are working with students this year, who are Rose Illingsworth, now can I do all the names? Sam Hung, Brian Wong, help me, who else is? Maxie, Mary Van Der Steen, who else is leading those Bible study groups? Gia, Wes Illingsworth, who else? I think there's a couple of our middle leaders. Say again? Yeah, that might be right. Melody Sue, is that pronounced right? Yeah. Who are going to be leading student groups on a Wednesday night, but in St. Peter's, alongside international growth groups. And the idea is to have those who are... we love the fact that on RML night, there are people from different nations and races and backgrounds. Is there actually anyone here who has been through in that way? No, we've made them all lead on Wednesday night in St. Peter's. That's interesting. But we recognise there are some people who, either because their English isn't quite up to the pace of just reading a Bible study, or because their culture is sufficiently different that Andy Reese at the front going, "Hooray!" makes them shiver or something like that. There are just some people for whom it might be they would stay if we had something with international students. And so we're going to kick that off this year. Rose Owensworth is taking the lead on that. That's why she's not here. She's on the international training weekend. Please be talking to her. And as you're meeting students, please be thinking. We're not going to make anyone go there rather than Wednesday night RML, student RML. But please be thinking where would be most appropriate for that person. And if you're with second and third years, as you meet them, if you've got any international mates who might love to come to a Bible study, that's a new thing we're trialing this year. That is plenty, isn't it? It's lunchtime. Stuart Morgan needs to talk about taxis.
Okay, there are apparently no tubes to... no Metropolitan line on Uxbridge. If you would like a tube, if you'd like a taxi to get on a train from Denham, can you raise your hand, please? Brilliant. So no, right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Just say, if anyone else needs to go early, I need to be on the first train after 2 because I need to be back in the fourth quarter.
We're all aiming for that because there are 2 trains very quickly after 2 o'clock and then nothing for another hour. Basically, the plan is to meet in reception, ready to go, so taxis to be there, hopefully, at 2:15. So that gives us 35 minutes. Do you want to scream, Charlie, at that point?
No. But 22 people will waste 1 minute each. That's about right. Let's say grace. Father God, praise you for students to work with. Thank you for the gospel, for your word to work with. Praise you that you've pounded us through lots of things to think about this morning on that. Father, please make us good leaders who love and care for our groups. Pray that you'd sustain us through the year and sustain us now with the food you've got ready for us. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.